We continue our learning of the Nishmas Davi B'Menachem Rush and Chaim Yaakov and Pinchas Elio. We are in Achala Perek Gimel Mishnah Tes. Kayotzebo, similar to the previous Mishnah where we spoke about this sourdough of Tevel that got mixed up in this chulin, in this dough that already had challah separated, and we're dealing with how I'm supposed to fix this mixture. So zay say musik, I'm talking about olives now. We have olives that were harvested, which means they're olives that are tevel. They obviously need chumus. They need chumus and masa separate from them. Shenis arvu im zay say nikuf. They got mixed up with picked olives. Picked olives means olives that I picked that I have to leave for the poor, lapea or shichacha, let's say. So those are not subject to masos. So here I have basically olives that are chai, that are tevel, that got mixed up with olives that are chulin or grapes, inve batzir. I have harvested grapes, which are tevel. Inve ololos. Got mixed up with grapes that are ololos. Olos lo vekarmachaloso loso olil, the Torah says. I have a mitzvah to leave for the poor. Grapes that haven't fully developed, we call them ololos. We discuss them in Peah. So here also, they're pater from Trumas Amaso. So I have tevel grapes, but the irregular harvested grapes got mixed up with anavim that go to the poor that are olos that don't have a chiv of Trumas Amaso separated from it. So what am I supposed to do here? I don't know. I want to permit the mixture. I don't know where the tevel is in this mixture. So im yesh lo panrasu bimakom acher motziv v'cheshbon, like we said in the previous Mishnah. If let's say I have tevel of the fruit, let's say if I'm dealing with grapes, or I'm dealing with olives, and I have another bunch of grapes, and I have another bunch of olives. So when those are tevel, so what do I do is I can separate motziv v'cheshbon, separate an amount of masos from that. Of that batch of tevel in proportion to the amount of tevel that I have in this mixture. I can separate from another mixture on this mixture, not a problem as long as they're the same species, but that's only if I have another batch, but another supply. Vimlav, but I don't have other supply of grapes or olives, so then I don't have a choice but to do motzi chumo chumas master lako. Then I have to separate the amount of chuma chumas master for the entire mixture. And those portions go to the Kohen. I separate Truma Gedola, and then 1/10 is Maser Rishon. From that, I take the Maser, I take the Trumas Maser, and that goes to the Kohen. Because I don't have a choice. I don't know where everything, I don't have another batch in order to separate from that on behalf of this. So I have to make believe, I have to assume that this whole batch is Tevel, and you have to take the amount of Truma, the 1/50th or whatever, from the whole thing. The Hasha'ar, but let's say the remaining Masros. What are the remaining Masros? Well, it's Masros. I took Trumas Masros. What's left? I have Maser Rishon and Maser Sheni, or in the third and the sixth year, Maser Ani. So what do I do with, what about that which is somewhere in this mixture? Vashar, Maser Sheni, Maser, Umaser Sheni, Lifi Cheshbon. That, the amount of fruit I treat as Maser based on the proportion to the amount of Tevel in the olives or the grapes that are in that mixture. Now, yes, just like with the Truma, I have to designate an amount of Masros for the entire mixture. But I don't have to give all of those fruits as Maser Rishon to a Levi or Maser Ani to the poor, nor do I have to redeem the entire amount of Maser Sheni. I don't have to give or redeem the amount of Maser that will correspond to the Tevel that's in this mixture. Why? What's the difference? So the difference is very simple. Maser Rishon is not forbidden to someone who's a Zar, or rather someone who's a non-Levi. So I can give the Levi the amount, the percentage of Tevel, of Maser Rishon from this mixture, from the amount that was Tevel that fell in. I don't know where it is, but I know what percentage fell in. And that's it. The rest I'm allowed to keep for myself. But that which I'm designated as Truma or Trumas Maser, which is from the entire mixture, that entire amount has to be given to the Kohen. Perek Gimel Mishnah Yud. Hanotel Soor Me'isas Chitim V'Nosin L'Soch Isas Orez. Here's another case. I have a case of mixed dough of Tevel, meaning I have dough which has the chiyuv of challah to have it separated from it, and one that's not subject to challah. So here's an example. I take a piece of sourdough from a wheat dough of Tevel. Vinos and the Sochisas Ores. And I place that sourdough from that my wheat dough into a rice dough. Now, the rice dough is not chayiv in challah, as we've mentioned in the beginning of the perek. So the halacha is like this. Im yesh bo tam dagon. Sound familiar? If I can discern the flavor over the wheat grain in the dough, chayiv es b'challah, then the whole mixture is chayiv in challah. If that flavor of that Tevel sourdough, wheat sourdough, can be tasted in the mixture of rice, even though I have a majority of rice that makes the dish, the whole mixture, it was chayv and challah, even though, as we said, most of it is rice and it's not chayv and challah. Nonetheless, we treat the whole mixture as if it's wheat. Chayv es b'challah, vimlav. Let's say I can't discern the taste of the wheat grain. Then ptura. Then the whole thing is exempt from challah. In that case, basically, the sourdough of wheat is batel in the rove of the chulin rice dough. So I don't have to separate challah at all. Now, we learned earlier that if I have that tevel sourdough in the chulin dough, the whole thing becomes usur, no matter how little the tevel is. We said the tevel's not batel. So, question is, why was that true over there? And over here, you're telling me, well, I can nullify the sourdough. In Cana, ask the Mishnah. If it's true that the tevel sourdough is only going to forbid the whole mixture where that has the rice in it as well, where I can taste it, lama amru ha-tevel osir kolshu. So in what case, why did the Chacham say in certain cases that tevel will forbid a mixture, even a little amount, even it can't be tasted? So the Mishnah says, min bimino. When did the Chachamim say that it's going to be usur when I have a mixture of min b'min, one kind with its own kind, one type with its own kind? That was what we had in Mishnah Ches when we spoke about the su'or from the Isa, that lo horma, that didn't have challah separated, that fell into where the chulin that had it separated. There, we didn't allow any amount to be batel, and that's because that was the case of min mimino. Both the sourdough and the dough were made of wheat, and therefore the tevel can't be, the whole mixture is going to be usur, even if you cannot taste the tevel sourdough. But shalom mimino, but I have a mixture of min shalom mimino, two different species, which is the case of wheat and rice, then benos ein tam. Then the tevel will only prohibit it if it gets a taste into it. Why is this so? So the Gemara explains in Avodah Zarah and Daf Ayin Gimel midoraisa. We've mentioned for chita achas poteres esakri midoraisa. I don't have to give 1/50th of truma. One little grain exempts the whole thing. The Chachamim are the ones who came and said it has to be approximately 1/50th, 2%. So the Chachamim said, well, if midoraisa, one single kernel of grain can be separated as truma. So the same thing is true. A single kernel of tevel is significant enough to make a whole pile, a whole mixture of chulin asur. But that's only if the tevel and the chulin are min bimino. Because I can only separate truma from min bimino, so that rule will apply only in min bimino. But since I can't separate truma for a different species, so there's no din, there's no principle of chita achas poteres asakri, one kernel potters the whole thing can count as truma, so therefore I can't be machmir either and say, oh, a little bit of tevel is going to ruin the whole mixture as well. There is another reason also why tevel will ruin a mixture even in a little bit, and that's because tevel is what we call a davar sheyesh lo matirin. It's something that will eventually, in the future, can be permitted. We have this, we mentioned in the past, several examples of this. Something that's muktzah, an egg that's muktzah, that was born on Yontif, this muktzah gets mixed up with 1,000 other eggs. All of those eggs are usur. We don't say it's batel berov. It's not batel at all. Why? Because you wait till tomorrow, after Yontif is over, the whole mixture is going to be permitted. There are those who claim, the Rambam Shita, that chametz on Pesach is a davar sheyesh lo matirin, because technically speaking, chametz, at least midoraisa, after Pesach is permitted. So why would we allow chametz to be batel? And that's why chametz is not nullified according to the Rambam in 1 in 60th, 1 in 100, 1 in nothing. It's asur b'mashu. And interestingly, Tosus makes this point that I need these two reasons. I need the reason of Davar Sheish Lo Matirin, and I need the reason of that Chita Achas Boteres HaSakri, that we're strict when it comes to Tevel, because when it comes to Truma, one little grain can exempt the entire mixture. Why is that so? Because there are cases where one reason may not apply. Take, for example, I have a case where the owner of the Tevel is not around, so he can't separate Trumus Umasros. So he can't call that a Davar Sheish Lo Matirin. So therefore I need the other. So if Davar Sheish Lo Matirin was the reason why we're strict by Tevel, there's no reason to be strict anymore, because it's not a Davar Sheish Lo Matirin. I should allow the regular rules of Bittul to apply. So that's why I need the reason of Chita Achas Bokteres HaSakri, the fact that Truma, the Truma obligation can be any amount, any little bit, and that's why we're strict by Tevel. But there are cases where the other is not true. Let's say, for example, when it comes to Trumas Maser. So Trumas Maser is not Chita Achas Boteres HaSakri. Trumas Maser is a full 10% of the Maser Rishon. So that's a case of Truma where the reason of Chita Achas Boteres HaSakri doesn't apply. So maybe I should say by Trumas Maser, we should not be so strict when it comes to Tevel, because there's no principle of Chita Achas Boteres HaSakri. One kernel will exempt the whole thing. So maybe I should not be strict when it comes to its Tevel. Therefore, I have the reason of Davar Sheish Lo Matirin, since it's something that will be permitted in the future, it could potentially be fixed by separating, doing the proper separation. Therefore, we're going to be strict and say it's not going to be Batel.